Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres get ready for their first of three against the Cardinals at Petco. And we could use this opportunity to take our host Jesse Agler out of context and make him sound funny in the open, but that's not necessary now, is it?
Like, you don't have to do that. That's so weak. That's so weak. That stuff bothers me so much.
Well, then blame your co-host, Kurt Bavacqua, because he says so much stuff that sounds great out of context.
But it's my fault.
No. It's everybody. It's nobody's fault. How about that? I was about to say it's everybody's fault. It's no one's fault.
That's what it's supposed to be.
That's
right?
The part of the fun of this.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Kurt Bavacqua.
Oh, it's 5:30 on a Friday night. You know what that means. Padre Social Hour, presented by United. Welcome to Petco Park, first of three against the St. Louis Cardinals, the Redbirds. Coming up, Wine Fest, getting going out at the park at the park. That's a nice happy hour option. So is this, you and me, right here on this couch.
I love it. You know what I like?
Where
also?
Else would you rather be? Huh?
I like a team coming into town whose ERA is 7.
Yeah, that's nice.
For the three guys that we're facing this weekend.
It's not your older brother's St. Louis Cardinals in terms of some of the names who are on the roster, and yet they have 77 wins already this season.
Great organization. Amazing. They continue to do it year after year, and there has to be a reason.
There's a system. They're hacking the Astros. Whatever it is, they figured it out. Because it's incredible. Wainwright goes down, no problem. Grichuk was playing well as a guy that you didn't expect to get much out of. Now he's hurt, doesn't matter. Just keep winning. It's an incredible thing watching this Cardinal organization do it. These two teams played 4 times at the beginning of July in St. Louis. Padres won the first 2. Cardinals won the second 2. All 4 close games, tight games, fun games. So we'll see what this weekend has in store.
Well, I think the Padres should think about getting his runs as quickly as possible. You know, first, I like being first up.
I know. That's your thing.
Well, it's first. They're going to get first up.
Right. No, first but, up in the score.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you're talking about.
Gotta love it.
You love scoring first. Randy Jones loves runners in scoring position numbers. Bill Center loves everything. You've all got your little things.
Bill loves everything.
He's just a lover, man. We got a fun show coming up. A lot to get to. Yanhervis Solarte is going to join us in a little bit. And this is a guy that has really seemed to find his role on this club, his voice in this clubhouse. So we'll talk to him about that coming up in a little bit. A guy that played, or pitched, I should say, in more games than anybody else in the history of baseball, Jesse Orozco, will swing by. His last season, 2003, began in San Diego with the Padres. He's lived here for like 30, 35 years. And then also Billy Bean. Not the Oakland general manager, the other Billy Bean. MLB's ambassador for inclusion has been making the rounds around Major League Baseball all season long in his first year in this role. He's here today in San Diego. He's going to stop by in a little bit, and we're going to chat with him about everything that he's got going on. So a very busy Friday night, Kurt Bavacqua. But Solarte, the player who will be here, and he was a huge part of the win the other day, a couple of big hits, including the homer to tie it in the 6th inning to help sweep the Braves. He's just been a joy to watch.
He really has. I think – I don't know if he's surprised himself, but I think he's surprised a lot of people. I'm certainly surprised to the extent that he's doing things even better than I thought he could do them. I mean, he's got a lot more power than I thought he had when he first came over here.
Yeah.
I mean, the ball jumps off his bat. I mean, it really does. And now he's starting to gain some confidence, and I think that's what you're seeing in him.
The home runs for Solarte, and certainly Wednesday afternoon would be like this. Off the bat, you pretty much know it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
He certainly seems to know it's gone, judged by his reactions. But, as a fan, just watching him after he makes contact, you're like, oh, that's a home run. He hasn't been wrong on any of those, and there have been a few that he's absolutely launched. I'm thinking about one in Milwaukee, I think, which was insane. But the confidence, I think, is such a huge thing, getting the opportunities to play every day, getting the opportunities to make mistakes, still be in the lineup the next day. The psychology of the thing is through the roof with this guy.
I talked to him a couple of days ago, and he was actually down. You know why? He was hitting the ball so hard, so frequently, and he was making outs. And that can be frustrating. It really can. And he was down a little bit. And, I certainly didn't make light of anything
sure.
Because that's what I used to do. But with guys, but I didn't know him well enough. And I started talking to him about where he came from in Venezuela. And he goes back a couple of times, a couple of weeks every year. And then he gets out of Dodge and he goes to Florida and lives because that's where his home is now. And because I played there, same town Dave Concepcion's from. And we had a nice little conversation, and I saw exactly what you're talking about come out in him.
Very cool. All right, so we'll catch up with Jan Hervis in a little bit. Also, Jesse Roscoe and Billy Bean, a packed Friday show. Mm-hmm. All right, so you're getting ready for this Cardinals team and all the wins and everything like that. But first, some business. The player to be named later in the Will Venable deal, officially named today. It's John Edwards, the relief pitcher who can throw like 95 miles per hour. And what an incredible story this guy has had. Drafted by the Cardinals, coincidentally, comes up through their organization as an outfielder, kind of, you know, ends up not in their organization anymore, plays independent ball for a couple of years, gets the invite, you know, through a series of crazy things to go to spring training with the Texas Rangers, makes his major league debut last year finally as a relief pitcher, even though he came up as an outfielder, and then finds out he's got testicular cancer and spends the offseason fighting that fight and winning that fight. And then back to the Rangers this year. So he's the guy coming over in the Will Venable deal. Really interesting dude. It'll be interesting to see where he fits in from a roster standpoint, and hopefully we get an opportunity to talk to him at some point. Will Venable, by the way, first at bat as a Ranger today, knocked in some runs, which is always – I mean, look, obviously you don't want to see a guy have success against your team, but he's over in the American League, and we like Will, and you can feel happy for him. That's a nice way to start things off with a new team, huh?
Oh, it really is, and it makes you feel good. It makes you feel like you're part of the team, and the quicker it happens, the better off you are. I knew I used to get a kick out of going – whenever I went to another team, my first at-bat was very important.
Yeah.
And there were a few of those.
He gets the RBI double in his first at-bat to give
great.
The Rangers a 1-0 lead tonight in Detroit. Another guy getting his first at-bat with a new team, Marlon Byrd, traded this week, right, from the Reds to the San Francisco Giants. His first at-bat as a Giant tonight, and they're on the road in Pittsburgh, two-run homer. First at-bat, two-run homer, with his team already up 1-0 in the first inning. I mean, that's pretty ridiculous. And you know, who wouldn't have predicted this, by the way? Marlon Byrd, he's going to end up hitting a walk-off homer in the playoffs for them. Everybody knows how this ends.
That was a good grab, I think, for the Giants. That was one of the better deals that's been made so far.
Sneaky, you know, Sabian deal. That's what they've been doing the last few years.
They're good at doing that.
You get those random guys that kind of come out of nowhere. Cody Ross in 2010, Ishikawa last year. Yeah, they have a knack for a guy like that. Yeah, they got
it. Seem disgusted.
Yeah, I don't know if disgust is the right word. All right, we'll take a break and come back. Billy Bean is going to join us. He's making his rounds around Major League Baseball, and we'll catch up with him and see how the first year as the official MLB Ambassador of Inclusion is going for him. Looking for paradise? Maui Waui Hawaiian presents delicious made-to-order fresh fruit smoothies as well as adult beverage smoothies. So visit the new Maui Waui locations inside Petco Park, at the Park at the Park, or the Mercado. They're also located in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton, and Temecula. Billy Bean, when we come back, then Jesse Orozco and Jan Hervis Solarte. This is Padres Social Hour presented by United.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
All right, welcome back. Padres Social Hour presented by United. We got game one of three coming up against the St. Louis Cardinals. Andrew Cashner will be on the mound for the Pods. John Lackey, still going, 36 years old. He'll be out on the hill for the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm going to step away from the Padres of the present for a moment, though, and talk about something bigger. Zoom out, if you will. Former Padre and the MLB Ambassador of Inclusion, Billy Bean, is here. Billy, we caught up with you at the winter meetings on the show as you were just sort of starting in this role.
Right.
So now we're, you know, on what, three-quarters of the way through the first season. How's it going?
Well, it just – the job just keeps expanding on itself, and I think that's a credit to the clubs. I was able to, like you said, at the winter meetings. I spoke at the general manager meetings in November prior to that, and those are sort of integral big environments that got the word out, and then the invitations have been coming from the clubs. And I've just made it – I was determined to say yes, you know, for – until I've been through every club. And some clubs have just been really, really adamant about once, you know, I was invited to probably over half the league in spring training. I was on the road for 40 straight days and just, you know, one-man caravan and really grateful based on, you know, just coming full circle from my life experience and being away and out there, you know, as a role model in the LGBT community for 15 years. It's been a long time that I was away. And to be able to be someone who's relatable to the players and just give them an indication of what baseball stands for, which is really just expanding the diversity and anti-harassment, non-discrimination conversation by adding sexual orientation into that. And so that's the sexual orientation conversation is part of my job. It's not 100%. And I want the players to know that we're a resource it's easy to assume that they know all of these things. These guys are young. We come from all over the world, you know, South America, Asia, every corner of the United States. And they've been focusing on one thing, just like Kurt and I did to get to the big leagues. You know, that's all you know sometimes. And just because you're a great baseball player doesn't mean you understand the mechanics of what the expectations of your communities and these big cities that they play in. And I want to be protective for them and just give them, you know, at least an introduction to the conversation about what those expectations will be for them. And I tried to, at the end of those initial presentations, is just, you know, ask them to make a consideration as a father or a future father when they're at their dinner table, you know, raising their family. You know, they may have never thought about what LGBT is or why that's important. I'm not there to challenge their religion or what they believe or the structure of their family, but to make the consideration about what kind of conversations they want to have at their dinner table and what their kids, how they want to raise them. Are they going to raise a leader or are they going to raise a bully that perpetuates kind of the stereotypes that, you know, baseball has been, you know, their history is long and amazing with their social conscience that started with Jackie Robinson. And I think we've found a way to introduce a message that is relatable.
How did this job come about? Did you reach out or did
no.
did you go to somebody or did they come to you?
There's a gentleman named Paul Mifsud who's worked at the Office of the Commissioner. He's a labor relations attorney. He's been there almost 15 years. You know, great guy, married, three kids, you know, just a true baseball guy. And he does a lot of his work, expands in the platform that baseball stands for. And out of the blue, I was in Los Angeles, and I have built a really nice career for myself outside of baseball. I never, ever looked for a job, honestly, because I didn't think there was a place for someone like me.
Come a long way. Huh?
Yeah, and I still was like that, the same guy when I was a player, and Paul, he invited me to come to New York City and sit down with some of his colleagues, and he was very vague about what it was about. But he did say, "Billy, I think this conversation is 13 years or 14 years late." Hmm. And so I went to New York City. We sat down. We were supposed to meet for about an hour and went half a day, went back to Los Angeles, and 4 or 5 days later, they asked if I would consider coming to work at baseball again.
No, fascinating. And great to see baseball playing catch up a little bit, even if it is a little bit late, as you said, and I think it certainly is. Billy Beane is the MLB Ambassador for Inclusion. You're speaking with players. You're speaking with clubs. Is there a most asked question, you know, you're getting as you're going around and trying to open up this dialogue?
Sure. The question every, you know, fan or, you know, especially people on the operations side of baseball, they want to know when a player is going to make that decision. And it's a very difficult, question to answer. There's only been two in 146-year history of Major League Baseball, and we both did it after, myself and Glenn Burke. Glenn died about 20 years ago. You might have played against him.
I did. I was telling Jesse about it. Wow,
great,
what a talent.
Great talent, absolutely. But Glenn is a perfect example of someone who was unafraid of people judging him. And, you know, unfortunately, and when Kurt was playing that time, you managers had a lot more power than they do now. And he played
was literally driven right out of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, literally.
Yeah. And he played for two Hall of Fame managers, Billy Martin and Tommy Lasorda. And it ruined his life. You know, he was heartbroken and he had nowhere to go. And he spiraled in a way that, you know, his message, his story is important in that way that players need to know now that these organizations, they care about their players now. And there is a lot going on away from the field. And if that's part of my message, I'm so proud to bring that too. It's not about the snapshot of what your family looks like or what you do at home. It's what we do here together. You know, this every stakeholder in MLB that intersects comes through the turnstiles. Baseball wants to send a message that everyone is welcome. Every family, every fan, and what you stand for. People should be judged fairly by the content of their character. And if they're, you know, a bad person, it should, you know, they should be treated accordingly. But if to be prejudged is those are the days that we want to put behind us.
You talk about guys making that decision to come out in the minor leagues just this past couple of weeks. David Denson in the Milwaukee Brewer organization did that to his team. Dale Scott, the umpire in the offseason, right. We heard about that. I think the thing that was fascinating to me reading about the situation with Denson was that, you know, it sort of didn't seem planned. You know, he was having a conversation with somebody in the clubhouse, and again, this is the story that I read, and, you know, something was said, and he goes, hey, you know, be careful what you say. You never know. And at that moment, he was like, you know what? I'm going for it. And he felt comfortable enough in the clubhouse with his teammates to be able to do that.
It's a great credit to not only David but his team that he had that environment. And David picked up the phone and called me in spring training, and we've been talking for 4 or 5 months. And, you know, he's a very young man. He's of a different generation than us, and I look at that as a positive that he has seen enough strong images, and he has great self-esteem about who and what he is. The one thing he doesn't know is, you know, he's at the very entry level of the minor leagues, and how is that going to translate? And I don't think I think it's very important that we understand that for him, at this time, he felt it was the best decision to be the best player he can be. And that, we don't know if that means he's going to be a big leaguer. But for him to be playing in Helena, Montana with a group of guys and feeling safe enough to come forward, it just because he sent me a text and he's like, you know, you'll never guess what I did yesterday. And I'm like, oh, my God. You know, I'm like the old fashioned guy who's like scared for him. You know, I want him to, you know, and I think it's important to note that regardless if players are ready to come out or if they do, I think players like me are in a much healthier place now that people, and I've tried to always said, you know, coming out can mean just telling the person you trust the most in the world or your parents or your brother, or your sister. For some reason, I thought that if I was to do that, it had to be behind a microphone in the whole world. And I had never even told my own mom or dad. And you know, I'm the oldest of five kids. My dad was in the Marine Corps. He was a cop for 25 years. I thought I'd just rather, you know, sink to the bottom of the ocean before talking to him about this. And I honestly thought that I would never tell my family. But by circumstance and the work, you know, the people I met away from baseball, I learned a lot. And there were some really, really tough stories. And that's given me the inspiration to get out there and then talk to people.
You got a little bit of a pretty nice surprise when you told your dad, though.
Yeah, I did. And it's nice of you to say. You know, my dad was actually might have been the best, you know, of anyone in my family. And I think, you know, that was all I was afraid of was that he would look at me differently. And I was, you know, a quarterback in football in high school and, you know, baseball to big leagues at 22. And I'm the oldest of his five sons, and I wanted to always be that kid. And he just looked at me and said, you know, as long as you stay the young man that I raised, that's all that matters to me. And it cut me in half. It was so – because I created the scenario. No one in baseball did. Nobody ever made me feel badly. Nobody ever called me a name. I was not ready to accept myself. And I think that that's why I'm very patient with this message. I love baseball as much as anybody who's ever played it, and it's an honor to have this responsibility, and I look at it that way. And if it takes 10 years for some teams to be ready to talk about it in a way that they feel is merited to their organization, then I'm willing to wait that out, because I want to be a better example or a stronger image that they can be proud of and know that all we're trying to do is grow the sport of baseball, basically make more people feel welcome.
Powerful stories. Billy Beane, Major League Baseball's ambassador of inclusion, visiting the Padres here this week. Great to catch up with you again. Appreciate it, and good luck moving forward.
Thank you for having me. It's good to see you, too.
It's good to see you.
Our pleasure. All right, Billy Beane is with us. Hey, coming up September 1st here at Petco Park, it's a Pride Night. You can enjoy a night of networking, entertainment, and baseball as the Padres take on the Rangers at 7:10. The first 1,000 fans to purchase Pride Night tickets will receive a Pride-themed Padres hat. Tickets are available at Padres.com/Pride. Again, huge thank you to Billy Beane for stopping by. We'll take a break. When we come back, Jesse Orozco will join us, Yonhervis Solarte, in a bit as well.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
All right, welcome back to Padres Social Hour here at the AMR studio in the Western Metal Supply Company building at Petco Park, getting ready for the first game of a three-game weekend series against the St. Louis Cardinals. We're going to change it up a little bit right here. We've got a guy who debuted as a major leaguer with the New York Mets in 1979 and then last pitched for the Minnesota Twins in 2003. 1979 and 2003 began that 2003 season right here with the San Diego Padres. Jesse Orozco, who pitched in 1,252 games, a major league record, two-time All-Star, two-time World Series champion. Welcome, and thanks for coming by. Great to see you.
Thank you. Is there any more?
No, I keep going, man. I mean, we could talk about 86 with you. Hey, it's part of the game, part of the game. Yeah. Well, you're here for a couple reasons. One, you've lived here a long time, started that 2003 season with the Padres, and today you found out you're being inducted into the Latino Baseball Hall of Fame this year in the Dominican Republic. So first off on that, congratulations. That's a great honor.
Thank you. I was quite surprised and pretty excited about it, and just doing what I did right now, a little show. Gets me a little more fired up when the event is going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to be this December in the Dominican Republic, and maybe a lot of people don't necessarily know too much about the Latino Baseball Hall of Fame. It's a relatively new Baseball Hall of Fame, but unsurprisingly, I guess, the names of the guys who are in and who will be going in, I mean, it's some of the absolute best of the best in the history of this sport.
Well, I mean, to be a part of the playing baseball in the United States and seeing the greatest names like Babe Ruth and all this going down the line, and now to go on the other part of this chapter for myself, to see the Roberto Clemente's, Felipe Luz, and all those, it's just great. Now it's worldwide.
And I know you were on MLB Network earlier today. Felipe Luz was a part of that telecast. Just one of the most respected, revered guys, I think, in the history of this game. You talk to anybody who played for him, and to get a chance to talk to him about this honor and to be joining him and some of those other guys has got to be a great thrill for you.
It really is. It really is. You know, the names that are I'm going on the list with are great ball players that have represented their countries, and so I feel excited about having my name next to them.
Very cool. Well, congratulations again, Jesse Orozco, going into the Latino Baseball Hall of Fame this year. When you look back at your career, are you amazed the way I think regular people are amazed with the longevity and the success that you had all the way through all the, you know, over 1,200 games and everything like that? Does it hit you as amazing, you know, now that you've had a few years to look back and reflect on it?
After I look at it, then I say, well, 1,200 games. When I see my name number one on the list, then you know what? Then I say, well, I see a lot of players that, you know, I was teammates with or played against, and under that list, of course, but say those are good ball players. You know, I was just that blessed one that just continued pitching and almost took until age 47.
It's incredible. 46 years old that last season that, again, began here with the Padres. You also pitched in a really interesting era for a relief pitcher, eras, I guess, really, because the role that different guys played in the bullpens has changed so much over the last however many years, and it was changing as you were pitching. So the way you were used maybe, you know, 83, 84, 85 was different than the way you were used maybe in the late 80s, then in the mid-90s, then in the late 90s, and by the time your career wrapped up in 2003. What did you sort of make of the evolution of relief pitching over the course of your career?
I could see the changes. From the time I came up, in 1979, but then I went back down, had that cup of coffee, made me even more hungry to get back to the big leagues. And then in about 1982 is when I started going full bore at it. But from 82 through maybe 86, 87, maybe a little bit later, it was a pitcher's game. If the pitcher was called upon out of the bullpen, he was going to finish that game, unless he absolutely couldn't do it. Because I remember, you know, Roger McDowell and I were lefty-righty combination. And if it was the sixth inning, they go, Roger, you're in. Roger would throw four innings, finish the game.
Yeah.
The next day might be 7 innings, and then I'd finish the last 3 innings or, you know, 2 or 3 innings, and we'd go back and forth. So and then from that time on, then it started getting situational, where you started seeing lefty against lefty, righty against righty. That was okay with me. It helped me out because it saved my arm.
Sure.
I don't know if I could start from 79 all the way to 2003. That might have been a question mark already if I would have had to finish all my games.
Sure.
But the changes were amazing, and I had to make that adjustment to it because with the Mets I was a closer for about 5 years, and then I went into being a setup man. But I was very fortunate that I was able to do my job, that I stayed still from the seventh inning on instead of being, getting demoted more. But it was a different transition. And once I knew I couldn't close, and I tried to make myself a specialist, and it just worked out perfect.
Yeah, and that's how you're able to, as you said, continue to pitch for as long as you did. It's funny, though, you talk about, you throw 3 innings if you needed to, 4 innings if you needed to. You guys got at bats. I mean, a great trivia question is, you drove in the final run of the 1986 World Series. Mets win the game 8-5 against the Red Sox, and everybody remembers you throwing the glove up in the air after striking out Marty Barrett to win the World Series. But you drove in a run, an inning beforehand, so you're getting the at-bats. And I remember this came up last year when the Padres were in Washington, and Andrew Cashner played left field for part of an inning there. After the game, we were all talking about a famous instance in 86, I think, in Cincinnati, yes, where you and McDowell are in the outfield and pitching and sort of going back and forth. It was a crazy game. There were ejections, extra innings, and you guys are just really having to do whatever it is. So, yeah, we talk a lot about relief pitchers now as being guys to come in and get maybe one out. But that was definitely not the case, at least in the earlier parts of your career, when guys were being asked to do all crazy manner of things, I guess.
Yeah. And then, by the way, that was probably only one of the 5 hits I had in 24 years. So
that's not good timing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No,
Game 7 of the World Series.
I always talk about that. They say, how'd you hit? I said, did you see the 86 World Series?
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
All that matters.
Unbelievable. So, some crazy things. Greatest memory for you, is it the last out of the 86 World Series? You had so many interesting appearances, the All-Star games, the World Series titles with the Mets, and then in 88 with the Dodgers. But I imagine striking out a guy to end the seventh game of the World Series is probably about as good as it gets.
Yeah, that's going to go down, for my historical spot. To be the one called out on that, getting myself ready, don't know what's going on. It's funny because the game's going on, and McDowell got in a little bit of trouble, and so there's horses, because they think this game's going to be over, and so there's horses all inside the tunnel, and I'm throwing. And I'm jumping up and down this way. Instead of throwing pitches, I'm jumping and up and down because I want to see what's going on. And I can't see anything. And next thing I go, Jesse, you're in the game. It's like the next jump was all the way, almost over the fence. And I just took off. But that was just great. Marty Barrett's a great hitter. And that was like the defining moment of that situation. If Barry gets a hit, it might change things. But he would have had the most hits in World Series history.
Wow.
So it was, it's one of those.
Everything's on the line.
Yeah.
And no pressure.
But it's good.
Well, what is the psychology of being a closer? The guy, we talk about it all the time with Craig Kimbrell, and obviously, Houston Street here the last couple of years was really fun to watch. Trevor Hoffman, more saves than anybody else in National League history. So Padre fans have been so lucky to be able to see so many great closers over the years. But the psychology of being a closer has got to be just so intense. And going out there and so often such a slim margin for error, if any, I guess. What do you do?
Well, I mean, you have to learn how to build up that tough skin in order to, go in there and pitch late innings. And that's just taught by being thrown out there. The second most important thing is you have to be yourself every day. You can't live by the game before or the game coming up, just things like that. You have to let those things go. You have to start over the next day. If you have a blown save and you start thinking about that save, it's a pretty good chance you're going to lose that one too. So, and then it's the manager. The manager has that belief in saying, you're my man. All you have to do is, you're my man. That gets him targeted back to go in and say, stay hungry and keep looking forward.
How important do you think, you know, especially the way bullpens are constructed now, or defined roles for guys? I feel like we talk about that sometimes, the importance or not of a guy knowing, hey, I'm the closer. Hey, I'm the eighth inning setup guy. I'm the lefty-righty combo in the seventh or whatever it is. Do you think that's really important for the guys in the bullpen in today's day and age?
It's very important.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to tell guys their roles because you don't want them to, well, I'm going to go. I got to go to the restroom in the clubhouse or something like that, or I got to do something, you know. You know, phone rings. What happens? It's not a good situation. So at least those guys are prepared to do what they have to do, and they don't have to worry about pitching out of their element unless it's maybe an extra inning game. If it is and they say, okay, you need to give me a couple more innings, and I'll give you the day off. But besides that, it's just learning your own role. Get the role that they give you, and once you agree on it, then you have a more clear mind of what you have to do.
Makes a lot of sense. A man with one of the great MLB careers ever, 1,252 appearances as a pitcher. That is a major league record. Incredible. Debuted 1979 and wrapped it up in 2003, a four-decade big leaguer. Not a lot of those. I think fewer than 30. Over the course of history, and now going into the Latino Baseball Hall of Fame this December. Congratulations again on that, and thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you, and I just want to mention that I had a great time playing here in 2003. Would have loved to play more if I was a little younger. I might have had a chance.
Well, but, you love this place. We were talking about this off the air. I should have brought this up. I mean, you moved here like 30 years ago, right? You came, you know, as a visiting player, and you said, yeah. Wow, this is a nice place.
I just started checking out the city, and next thing I know, I told my wife, I said, let's just kind of – rent something here, and then that was it. And we've been here forever, and it's just the greatest city in the world.
Very cool. Yeah. Grew up in Santa Barbara, but have called San Diego home for a long, long time. Jesse Roscoe, thanks again, and congratulations.
All right, thank you.
Absolutely. All right, as your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Jesse Roscoe, when we come back, more on tonight's game, Padres and the Cardinals, coming up.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Thanks to Jesse Roscoe for stopping by. We've got Yanhervi Solarte coming by in a few minutes. Padres Social Hour presented by United with Kurt Bavacqua. I'm Jesse Agler, Andrew Cashner, John Lackey, the pitching matchup tonight. First of three between the Padres and the St. Louis Cardinals. We'll get to tonight's starting lineup in just a moment. Kurt, it's an interesting one. Travis Jankowski will be making his first major league start, and he's hitting an interesting position. But first, I do want to get to a couple of tweets. As everybody knows, you can use the hashtag PadresSH to join the conversation online. And a couple have come through. A lot of sock talk on this show, right? Often people comment on our socks. Not today, my friend. Your shirt is stealing the show today.
Really?
Yes. Devin, hey, you have to point out Kurt Bavacqua's shirt game, hashtag style points. And Henry, or Henri, if he's French, loving the shirt tonight, hashtag PadresSH.
Well, we live in paradise, so I figured I'd wear a Hawaiian shirt, right?
It works for you, man. You can pull it off. Not anybody can do that, and it does match the socks.
I mean, what are you talking about?
You're basically like a fashion icon
at
this point.
Well, you know, I had to. When I put the shirt on, I had to get the socks.
The green socks.
I knew
socks.
They were in there somewhere.
Yeah, I know I've got green socks with palm trees on them or fronds, whatever those are. All right, So nicely done. Nicely done. Fashion icon Kurt Bavacqua.
I'm glad everybody appreciates it.
All right, let's take a look at the starting lineup tonight, which, as always, is presented by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. Solarte leading off, and then he'll be on the show in a few minutes. Alonso at first, Kemp, Upton, Scherzer, Jerko, Norris, no problem. Amarista, okay. What? Andrew Cashner batting eighth. And Travis Jankowski hitting ninth, playing center field, his first major league start. Cashner will become the second pitcher to hit eighth for the Padres this year. James Shields has done it twice, and this is the first time for Cashner. So the third time the pitcher has hit eighth. And Pat Murphy said before batting practice today, a little less pressure on Jankowski than putting him up in the leadoff spot.
And I'm not sure what kind of guy Andrew is on his pitching day. A lot of guys don't like to be – they like to be left alone. They don't go out and needle and things like that. But I'm sure he's going to needle a few people by hitting eighth today. He'll go up to Shields and say, you and I are the only ones. And then he'll go needle the rest of the pitching staff.
You guys haven't hit eighth yet.
Exactly.
Yeah. And he may even be going around and lobbying to hit seventh at some point in the future.
I wouldn't doubt it. I know Shields has.
If not fourth. If not fourth.
I know Shields has.
All right, so Travis Jankowski, first major league start. That'll be a big story tonight, without question. We'll take a break when we come back. Jan-Hervi Solarte will join us, and a fun interview with the Padre third baseman. Join the Padres for Pedal at the Park, an inaugural radio telethon and cycling event that is coming up in a couple of weeks, September 12th. It benefits Pedal the Cause and local cancer research centers. Participate in a one-hour cycling class on the field featuring a DJ. Padres game will be on the big board there in San Francisco. We got a post party and more. To register for this great cause and to have a good time, visit padres.com/pedal, padres.com/pedal. Take a break when we come back. Jan Solarte joins us, Padres Social Hour, from the AMR studio.
We're back with more of San Diego's number one source for everything Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour. Getting ready for the first game of this three-game series between the Padres and the St. Louis Cardinals. One of the absolute best stories of this season for the Padres has been the play of Jan-Hervis Solarte at third base and at the plate. And he joins us now on the Cholula hot seat. Appreciate Jan-Hervis coming by. Try to make this as easy as possible. So we got Nikki here. I was going to translate it in Espanol to keep this conversation going as well as we can. It looks to me like you're having a lot of fun right now playing baseball. How much fun are you having out there?
¿Cómo te estás divirtiendo allá afuera en el campo?
Demasiado. O sea, una cosa que cada vez que ya cruzo esas dos líneas es a dar lo mejor de mí y tratar de jugar con todos los muchachos, que es el mayor reto que tengo cada día. De entrar en una familia y divertirnos lo más posible.
He said so much, though, every time he crosses the foul line, he just wants to have as much fun as possible with his team and his family that's out there on the field.
It looks like that. You know, it doesn't just come across, I think, in your words, but in your actions as well. And I imagine being comfortable is a big part of that. How much more comfortable do you feel now as opposed to maybe a couple of months ago?
Si te sientes más cómodo hoy, unos meses.
No, yo siempre me he sentido cómodo desde que los padres me han dado la oportunidad de estar aquí. Yo siempre he estado con ellos y sea bueno o malo, siempre lo malo lo agarro para lo positivo y trato de estar conjunto con ellos. La única diferencia es que ahora estoy jugando un poco más, me están dando más oportunidades y agradecido con eso, que es una de las cosas.
That even when he's playing bad, he tries to turn that into a positive no matter what, and that he's been able to play more, so that's why he's having more fun, because he's feeling more comfortable, that he's getting more at-bats, getting more playing time.
Yep, no, I think that makes all the sense in the world. What about last year, having to make the transition from the Yankees to the Padres and being traded in season? That can't be an easy thing to do. How long did it take you last year to feel a little bit comfortable, at least here in San Diego?
En el pasado fuiste cambiado de los Yankees de aquí, y o sea, como eso era difícil, ¿cómo te sentiste de ese tiempo y ahora?
O sea, una de las cosas, cuando yo me cambio, yo nunca me esperé ese cambio. Yo dije, wow, me cambiaron ya jugando bien. Pero si es para bien, o sea, todos los cambios son buenos. Yo vengo de tres equipos ya y agarré el cambio. Cuando llegué aquí ya yo vi que la cosa era diferente, más tranquilo, el ambiente. En la ciudad me gustó todo me hizo un cambio diferente y mira, gracias a Dios pude llegar aquí y abrir mis puertas aquí, otra oportunidad más.
You have to think that every change is going to be good in some sort of fashion. This is the third team he's been with, and he said he liked everything that he got here, this city, just the lifestyle here was just a little bit more chill, a little bit calmer, and so that's why he just felt like he fit in really well.
Yeah, no, we've heard that from many people over the years. Jan-Hervis Solarte is here. Nikki from our office is helping us out with the translation for everybody. You've gotten some big hits, it feels like, as of late, batting right-handed, as a switch hitter. Is that all part of getting more at-bats, playing more, getting more opportunities to hit from the right side, that you feel more comfortable hitting from the right side right now?
¿Estás bateando más del lado derecho? ¿Cómo te sientes de ese lado?
Siempre me siento como de los dos lados, nada más. Si es cuestión de tiempo. Si uno agarra más pitches zurdos, uno se va sintiendo más cómodo. Pero, o sea, cuando ya pasa, ya trata de ver pitches derechos, pitches zurdos, ya se hace más cómodo. Y lo que estaba pasando, ya vamos a ver cómo está esta serie, si ponen pitches zurdos o derechos, pero seguir adelante, que todas las cosas están saliendo bien.
The pitcher, he's been seeing a lot more pitchers batting or hitting or sorry, throwing from the right side. So that's why he's been hitting on that side more. And so he feels more comfortable depending on where he's seeing the ball come from. So that's why he's been batting right.
Certainly makes a lot of sense. What about batting leadoff? That's a thing we've gotten to see a good amount from you this year. You enjoy being the first guy to come up in the first inning?
Bateando primero, ¿cómo te sientes de esa posición?
O sea, me gusta. Trato de, o sea, ya va de brindar la energía de una vez, empezando el inning, que es una de las cosas que más me gusta, de tratar de empezar con la chispa y seguir que el equipo continúe haciendo lo que hay que hacer. Pero sí me gusta y daré lo mejor de mí hacer trabajo ahí.
He likes it because that's how the energy gets started. So that's what he wants. He wants to start every inning so he can get the energy going from the guys that are following behind him.
Do you feel a responsibility, whether you're leading off or not, to sort of bring, you know, some energy to the ball club? Because we've seen you do more and more of that this season.
Si te sientes responsabilidad de traer energía al clubhouse, al equipo.
O sea, son cosas que me salen a mí natural. Yo siempre de que llego al clubhouse, todo es una broma, todo es diferente. O sea, trato de estar con la sonrisa todo el día. Y bueno, ella sabe, ella me conoce, llega ahí. Pero, o sea, a lo que llego al terreno, ya trato de hacer mi trabajo. Y ya es una cosa que me sale natural y trata de que todos se sientan cómodos.
That to him it's natural. To him walking in the clubhouse to start with the jokes. That's very natural to him. And that, like he was saying, I talked to him a lot in the clubhouse, and so he was saying that I know because I see him walk in and he has jokes and he's always joking around with all of his teammates. And that's just that's natural for him. And that's how he likes to run through his process, is keeping it natural and as easily flowing as possible.
I think we've seen that again more and more this year, maybe even than last year. So I guess that brings us to the nickname conversation. This has been going on for some time. We started at slow Arte, but then you upgraded it to medium fast Arte, which I like that. I think it's more fair, if nothing else. And now the other day, El Nino. What was the story with El Nino the other day?
No sé dónde vino ese sobrenombre, pero ellos siempre están buscando. No sé dónde.
He honestly doesn't know, but that they're always trying to come up with new nicknames for him.
Well, anything's better than Slow Arte. It's better.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sí. Exactly. Sí. Ese Slow Arte lo puso Norris. Norris?
Derek Norris.
Yeah. Derek Norris. Middle Fast Aster.
Era tú.
Yo lo puse porque, o sea, por los triples que ya estaba dando, más todos los dobles. Ahora el niño, no sé dónde, yo creo que lo hizo Amarista o McKen, uno de los dos.
He's saying that the medium fast Arte came because he was hitting lots of triples and doubles, and that he designated that for himself, that was his nickname he gave himself, and he thinks that El Nino came from either Matt Kemp or Alexi Amarista.
All right, well, we'll continue to try and work to get to the bottom of that. Speaking of the doubles and the triples, Matt Kemp's cycle last weekend in Colorado, you're on first base when he needs the triple. When you see the ball, you know, hit the wall, do you pretty much know, I gotta score here, I gotta get out of the way? A little extra pressure base running in that situation?
Yeah. Yo solo quería era, anotar la carrera para que pudiera dar el triple. Yo lo más que pude fue correr. Gracias a Dios llegó, pudo llegar.
He just wanted to cross home plate because he knew that he wanted him to get the triple, so all he could do is just run.
Huh? Well, you ran perfectly all the way home and a big part of Padre history. Hey, congratulations on all the success. Thanks for hanging out for a few minutes with us. We really do appreciate this, and keep it up. It's been very fun to watch.
No, gracias a ustedes, ¿no? Por la entrevista y la oportunidad de brindarme. Dale que la fanaticada nos dé ese apoyo todos los días y vamos a dar lo mejor de nosotros.
He says thank you and that we need to keep working hard as a team so we can continue winning.
Absolutely love it. Great job by Yonhervis Solarte and Nikki on the Cholula Hot Seat. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. We'll take a break. Come back more from the AMR studio right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
All right, welcome back at the AMR studio, Padres Social Hour, presented by United. Thanks to Yonhervis Solarte for stopping by and chatting. Great job by Nikki Patriarca on the English-Spanish translation, back and forth a couple of times there. Fun guy who's having fun right now, and you can tell.
You know what's funny about it? Because I was telling you earlier in the show that I sat and had a conversation with him, and I didn't talk to him in Spanish, so he's just not comfortable speaking Spanish on camera. But he's much better, and you could see during the interview that he understood almost everything that you were saying.
Absolutely.
I think just some of the words that he wanted to get across, he wasn't real confident with. But he's, I tell you what, he's going to be a fun guy to have around for the next couple of years.
No question about it. And he is working on the English. We were talking about that off the air, no doubt. Hey, before we get out of here, got to say congrats, Sweetwater Valley. 14-2.
They did Mercy well.
Ruled them.
Five dingers, one inning.
Big inning, big second inning. So congratulations to those guys, and continued success. More importantly, continued fun in Williamsport for those dudes. I guess we're done. Back tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Randy will be here, and enjoy the game. Go Padres.
Yes, sir.